Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Amen. Go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 50. I just want to use one verse of scripture. I'm going to use several others, but just one verse to get us going this morning. Hallelujah. That's the one. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Joseph said, I am dying, but the Lord will surely visit you. So what happens when God visits your house? What happens when God visits your house? I would just like to go on record and say, can we just lift up a hand and say, God, you're welcome at my house. Come by and visit at my house. Now, I don't know how you are, but I don't like pop-in visits. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Somebody just pop in on you. How y'all doing? You know, you in your pajamas. I was doing fine until you showed up. I didn't know you was coming. You know, let me go change or something. But I don't mind Jesus pop-in visits. I don't mind God just popping in whenever he wants to, because there's some things happen when God visits your house. What happens when God visits your house? Well, let me tell you better get ready. When God visits your house, you know, I was sick the other day and I got home and my wife thought this would help me. And so she got me something to eat and something to drink. And then later on that night, I figured out what I had. And what I had was gastroenteritis. Is that how you say it? Gastroenteritis, which is an inflammation of the stomach lining and intestines. My nurse says it means that you are inflamed from here to here. So anyway, there you go. And so my wife got me this that she thought would make me feel better. And after I figured out what I had at 12 o'clock at night and I was still sick, I read what you shouldn't eat and I just ate everything that I shouldn't have ate. Dairy, not supposed to have it. I had a whole quart of chocolate milk. Spicy food, shouldn't have it. Fatty food, shouldn't have had it. And I had Popeye's spicy chicken. Not a good idea. But that's all right. Because I ate that. And then like, I think it was either the next day or the next day, I was walking somewhere and I happened to look out and there was a truck pulling into my driveway. I went, oh Lord. Every hair on my head was standing straight up. And I said, I don't know who this is. And it was Justin. He was coming by to pick something up. But anyway, I how your mind goes when you're not expecting company and they showed like, oh Lord Jesus, help me, Lord Jesus. And so, but I'm not that way when God wants to show up. But I can tell you this, when I saw the truck show up, I started getting ready. I started getting some things ready that I had already let go. So when God gets ready to visit your house, you better get ready, because what will happen is God will execute what he promised. I don't think you heard me. I said God will execute what he promised. God visited Sarah after he had promised that she would conceive a child after her womb had been barren. But in Genesis 21:1, it says, and the Lord visited Sarah. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. When the Lord visits your house, get ready for what God had already promised to come to pass in your life. How many is in here who's had God do some promises that are yet unfulfilled? Well, don't give up on those promises, because when God visits your house, it might be this time that he's about to fulfill what he said he was going to do in a time past. We all need to be reminded that God doesn't forget what he promised. You got to remember that during the nighttime, remember what God promised during the daytime. Are you hearing me? And when we understand that God is
is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If he has said it, he shall bring it to pass. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let friends talk you out of it. Don't let circumstances talk you out of it. If God has said it, then you go ahead and believe God. Well, Pastor, what if it doesn't happen? Then you believe God and you trust God while you're going down on the ship, but you still trust God, because if God said it, he will bring it to pass. Many times we forget in the good times what God promised when God was bringing us out of the situation that we have gotten ourselves into. You ever forget what God said? Most of us do. God said something a while back. We don't write it down. We don't put it in our Bible. We don't note it. We just try to remember it. But the devil will make sure during the hard times of your life that you forget what God has said. When God visits your house, get ready. Why? Because you're coming up out of bondage. You're coming up out of bondage. Point number two. You're coming up out of bondage. God visited the children of Israel while they were yet in the land of Egypt. I don't know if you caught that. While they were still in bondage, God visited them. You don't think that everything has to be perfect before God visits you. Don't think that you've got to be as good a Christian as Sister Joe's Christian over here. Don't believe that you've got to have everything perfect before God visits you. Because God will visit you while you're still in bondage. He will visit you while you're still working on your mess. He'll visit you while you're in the middle of a test. He will visit you while you think he forgot your address. Just remember that God didn't forget your address. Remember that God knows exactly where you are. And when he visits you, get ready to come out of bondage. When you feel the touch of God, when you feel the anointing of God, you might as well go ahead and shake yourself. Test the bondages in your life. I believe that God's about to bring me up and bring me out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I ain't got time to preach like I need to preach, but God visited the children of Israel. God is not afraid of where you are. Well, you don't know what I'm messed up in. God ain't afraid of that. You don't know how many times I've messed up. God ain't afraid of your mess. God will take a mess and cause a message to come out of it. He ain't afraid of your mess. He's not intimidated by your crisis. He's not intimidated by your position. He's not intimidated by your predicament. When God visits your house, gather up your things because you're about ready to come out. When God visits your house, you need to start gathering up your stuff. What are you going to leave behind? I'm not leaving anything behind that is of value. I'm going to take it with me because I'm not leaving it there for the devil. You know why? Because when I leave this place, I don't ever plan on visiting that place again. So gather up what you're going to take with you. Here's what the Bible says. That in Egypt, or in Exodus chapter 3 verse 17, when God delivers you out of bondage, he will bring you up and out. What do you mean by that? Exodus 3:17. Write it down. I'll be gone by the time you get there. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, up to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, you got to get this, that when God visits your house and delivers you, you know this, that God don't just deliver you out. He delivers you up and out. The problem with too many of us, we just let God deliver us out. But when God just delivers you out and you don't come up and out, it's easier to slide right back in to what you used to be in bondage to. It's easier to slide right back into where God just delivered you out of. So remember, when God gets you out, yes, you come up and out. It's a little bit harder to go back down than it is just to slide sideways, just to go parallel. God wants to bring you up. I know some people are going to think about you. Well, now don't you think you something? You go ahead and tell them, yes, I do. Oh, now you think you're too good for us. Listen, I'm not too good for you, but I'm not going to get that back down in the mud and wallow around in the mud with you, because my God has delivered me up and out of this situation. Don't apologize Don't apologize for where God has brought you from. Because people want you to come back to where they were. Don't apologize. I'm sorry. I just can't go that way no more. I can be your friend, but I'm not going to get back down in that with you. And if you, the only way that you can be my friend is by me coming down, I'm sorry, but we got to part company. And I'm going to wait for you up over here. And I'm going to throw you a lifeline named Jesus Christ. Because if I try to get in and save you, you're going to drown me. You're going to keep me down. But bless God, I'm going to give you Jesus, who can bring you up and out like he brought me up and out. And the same God that delivered me shall and can deliver you. Don't let a jackleg bring you back down to where you used to be. When God visits your house, you're coming out of lack. Oh, somebody needs to shout right there. When God visits your house, you're coming out of lack. God visited Bethlehem and restored their namesake. Bethlehem means house of bread and praise. But there was a time in Ruth where the house of bread and praise, there was a famine that came by. But the Bible said that in the book of Ruth, write it down, 1 and 6 in the New King James Version, the Bible says Naomi heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. See, when God visits you, he causes that which you lack to become enough. Woo! I like it when God visits my checkbook. I like it when God visits my pantry. I like it when God visits me in that arena. Everybody loves it when God visits you there. But are you doing what you need to do in order for him to visit? Oh, that'd preach right there. Bethlehem was going through great famine. See, if anyone in here has been through a place of famine, and I want you to hear me. If anybody in here has been in a place of famine, whether it be financial, whether it be spiritually, whether it be emotionally, whether it be whatever, if you've been in a place of famine before and God visited you and now you're out, would you just give God a shout of praise? Hey! So let me tell you, I want us to do it one more time, but this time I want you to kind of look around. One more time, tell me. There's all kind of people around you that has been at a place of lack, but God delivered them out of. And if God will do it for that one and that one, and sure enough, that one and that one and that one, surely God will do it for me. So I'm going to wait for his visitation. I'm not going to sit here and twiddle my thumbs until he visits, but I'm going to praise him. I'm going to give him glory where I am, because I know where I am is not where I will always be. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're amening. I'm preaching better than your old amening. Ruth and Naomi still had to get up and out of Moab. Just because God visited you, there's still something that you got to do. You can sit there and want God to do it all. Let me tell you something about Pentecostals. I'm third generation Pentecostal, so I can talk about us. Pentecostals are some of the laziest people on the face of the planet. Because you know what we want to do? We just want to throw tongues at it. Economy auto supply. She rode a Honda. Don't be offended. There'll be plenty of other times. But that's what we want to do. We just want to throw tongues at it and think that's all we got to do. No, there's something you got to do. Well, I want God to bless me. What are you doing? Nothing. I need God to bless me financially. What are you doing? Well, nothing. I need God to touch my mind. What are you doing? Nothing. I'm just waiting for God to do it. Let me tell you this. I don't wait for God to touch me. I reach out to touch him. Did you hear me? I reach out to touch him. And let me tell you something. Come here, Travis. Travis is my good friend. Travis is our assistant director over our children. But now, if Travis is the Lord, and trust me, he ain't. But he's a good man. So if he reaches out to touch me, just reach out. But yet I'm not there. Guess what? When I reach out to touch him, I'm closing the distance. Are you hearing me? I'm closing the distance as I reach out to touch him. Because as I do things that cause him to want to come to my house and visit me, and if I'm doing if I'm seeking him, get on the other side over there. Let me, oh God help me. I want you just to slowly pursue me. Just see the Lord trying to touch some of us. Come on. But here's what most of us do. And you wonder why it's taking so long. But let me tell you something. If you would turn yourself and begin to seek him, look how faster and closer you're going to come together. Look how faster and closer you're going to come together. Thank you, Travis. You got to understand that you need to do what you know to do in order to touch the hand of God. Because once he touches your life, once he visits your life, you're coming up and out of bondage. When he touches your life, you're coming out of lack. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of living in lack. I'm tired of needing a touch of God, but not getting it. But I can tell you, when he visits your house, it's a lot easier to get a touch when he's in the house than when he's outside the house. Good preaching, Pastor. So when you come, when number four, when God visits your house, you're coming out of oppression. You're coming out of oppression. Oppression means to crush, to trample down, to overpower, to subdue. Now I don't know about you, but I leave my family when my daughters were young, and I might leave them in the house. It's one thing for them to be in the house. And they're a little, and they lock the doors and they make sure nobody comes in to oppress them. But they feel so much better when I'm in the house. Why? Because I'm their father. I know how to use an AK-47. I know how to use an AR-15. I know how to use a 9mm. I know how to use those things. Now, and let me tell you something. But when I'm in the house, they don't feel as oppressed, even if somebody's trying to get in. Are you hearing me? When God visits your house, the oppressor has to get outside the house. Because it's one thing to try to break in on some children. But you try to break in on a man that knows how to use guns, it's a whole different story. And it's one thing when the devil tries to break in on God's children, but it's another thing when God's up in the house. He said, if God be lifted up, all of his enemies shall be scattered. He ain't coming in your house. When God visits your house, oppression has to go. Hallelujah. Acts 2:12-5 says this, and the Bible says that Peter was therefore kept in prison. He was crushed. He was overpowered. He was subdued. But prayer was made without ceasing for Peter. Prayer was made without ceasing. Without ceasing. God is not going to visit your house. Hear me closely. Give me my next one. Yeah, God is not going to visit your house without some prayer going on somewhere. Well, God will visit my house because God knows my heart. God will visit my house. You know, listen. When I know somebody's coming to my house and they're not sure where I live, I keep a watch out for them. I know the numbers are on my mailbox and the numbers on my house, but I keep a watch out for them. And you know what? If you've ever had, and I don't want to bring up any old bad memories, but if you've ever had an ambulance to try to find your house, what did you do? You had somebody out in the street. You saw them coming. You begin to wave them down to tell them where they need to go. That's what prayer does. Prayer waves down the hand of God. God already knows, Pastor, I know it, but prayer said, here I am. Here I am. Here I am. I'm looking for you, Jesus. I'm looking for you, God. Would you just come to my house? I want you to come to my house. I want you to come to my house. I want you to come visit me. That's what prayer does. Prayer is talked about so much, but it's not what most of us do on a regular basis. We only do it when we're in trouble. But now hear me closely. The Bible says the angel of the Lord gave Peter, in verse 7, a heavenly visitation. That's what happens when God visits your house. He came out of an oppressive situation. The angel told him to get up, and as he obeyed, the chains fell off. I don't know if you caught that. As he obeyed, the chains fell off. We want the chains to fall off before we ever get up. God, oh, the Lord said he'll go before us and make the crooked places straight. So when I see everything going good and when I see a straight shot, that's when I'm going to get up. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, I'm going to strain against the bondage every day of my life. The devil might have a hold on me, but every day that I get up, I'm trying to make sure they're still there. I'm not going to just sit there and see what happens. I'm not going to wait till God takes the chains off to praise him. I'm going to get up now. I'm going to get up now because there's going to come a day. It might not be today. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be there for you, but there's going to come a day as you tug against the oppression, as you tug against it. God has visited your house, and as you get up, the chains are going to fall off and you're going to be able to do what God's called you to do. Because here's the deal. You will not get that visitation that God wants you to bring to your house unless you start learning to hear and obey. Hear and obey. It's not enough to hear. It's not enough to hear. How would some of you who have children love it if you would say, Johnny, come here. Johnny, don't move. Johnny, come here. Johnny. Johnny. Look at you. Come here. Oh, you know what would happen. Your eyes would cross. No, that child did not just look at me. And acknowledge, I said, come here, but didn't come. I got a dog like that. He's the stupidest dog I've ever had in my life. Mason, he's cute, but he's stupid. If you're going to be stupid, you better be cute. Because I go, Mason, he goes. I said, come here. Mason. Come here, boy, come here. Oh, I get infuriated. Go ahead and call the abuse line. Because I'm telling you, I want to get my AR out and play target practice. I didn't do it. Hush. He's so violent. But I say, come here to me. You know what I'm talking about? Start gritting your teeth. Dog, you better come here before I kill you. And he just waits till you get closer. Yeah, y'all should come around about 7 in the morning when Sherry's taking them out in her gown and house coat and the dog start running. Yeah. Sister First Lady, she's something else then. She remedied that. She put him on a leash now. But anyway. But you know how much that infuriates you? Well, what do you think it does to God? Ronnie, I want you to do this. I'm not sure about that. Ronnie, I'm going to deliver you if you'll do this. Ronnie, yes, Lord. See, it's not enough to hear. It's not enough to hear. Obey. You got to hear and obey. If you want God to visit your house, let God let you hear God's voice and then obey God's voice. Pastor, it's not that simple. Oh, yes, it is. You need to hear and then obey his voice. It's not enough just to hear him. You got to obey. All right? Number 5, and I'm done. When God visits your house, you're coming out of hopelessness. You're coming out of hopelessness. Christ has come to put some life into your life. Luke 1:68 says this, "Blessed is the Lord of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." When you are redeemed, you're not who you used to be. When you are redeemed, you're not who you used to be. I look back and don't even recognize the young man I used to be. You ever look back at yourself and think, man, as a father? Ooh, child. As a father of two girls? I thought back, I'd kill Ronnie Reed. Ronnie Reed better not ever come around looking at these girls. Because I'd kill Ronnie Reed. You know what I'm talking about? You know, the way you used to be. No, sir, I'd put some buckshot in old Ronnie Reed. No, sir. You become who you were meant to be from the foundation of the earth when you were redeemed. God has redeemed you for a purpose and for a reason to be the man and or woman of God He's called you to be. Hallelujah. He has redeemed you. Glory to God. God will surely visit you and bring you out. When God visits your house, get ready. Because you're coming out of bondage. You're coming out of lack. You're coming out of oppression. Whatever has held you back, kept you down, limited you, restricted you. When God visits your house, things start changing. Now hear me closely. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. It's amazing to me, Robert, how we want God to get us out of, in 5 minutes, what it took us 30 years to get ourselves into. And just because you've been delivered don't mean that you won't be tempted. Just because there are still things out there trying to draw you back in. Understand, let God visit your house and then let God make His abode in your house. The depth of your praise will determine the magnitude of your breakthrough. Did you hear that? The depth of your praise will determine the magnitude of your breakthrough. In other words, if all you do is listen to this message and say, well, wasn't that a nice little message from a little preacher? Bless the Lord. There's no depth in that. But if you'll declare before you go to bed tonight, before you close your eyes, the God of the breakthrough is going to visit my house. I'm telling you, somebody needs to declare it. The God of the breakthrough is going to visit my house today. And it might not be today, it might be tomorrow. But every day that if you're needing a breakthrough, why don't you declare it? Why don't you light a fire? Why don't you light a signal fire and go, the God of the breakthrough is going to visit my house. And you may look at your situation and say, I know where I'm at, but the God of breakthrough is going to visit my situation. I might not know when and I might not know where, but I know that God is faithful and I am praying and I am obeying and the God of breakthrough is going to visit my house. Go through the day shouting, the God of the breakthrough is visiting my house. When you go to bed at night, shout, the God of breakthrough is visiting my house. And every time the devil reminds you, of what's happening in your life, just declare, the God of breakthrough is going to visit my house. The God of breakthrough. You may say, well, Pastor, I don't have my own house. You that house. He's going to visit my house. He's going to visit me. The God of breakthrough. I don't care how long you've been sick. The God of breakthrough is going to visit my house. I don't care how long you've been broke and busted. The God of breakthrough is going to be at my house. He's going to visit my house. I don't care how long you've been oppressed. The God of breakthrough is going to visit my house. I don't care how long you've been in bondage. The God of breakthrough is going to visit my house. You declare it and you believe it. And when He speaks, obey His voice. Come on, give God praise in this house. Come on, stand to your feet. Come on, let's try it one time. The God of breakthrough, I'll be done by the time you guys get up here. The God of breakthrough is going to visit my house. Oh, come on, say it one more time like you mean it. The God of breakthrough is going to visit my house. Say it one more time like you mean it. The God of breakthrough is going to visit my house. If you're close to your family, close to your spouse, grab them by the hand, look at them in the eye, and say, the God of breakthrough is going to visit our house. The God of breakthrough. The God of breakthrough. I'm done. Father, in the name of Jesus, you are the God of breakthrough.
And I pray today, every person under the sound of my voice.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.